Good morning. Okay, today we'll be on question 33 and 34. The first question, 33, why is he, meaning Jesus, called God's only son when we are God's children also? If you remember the last two questions we had, one was about God's son being Jesus and he's the only one, and then the very next one, but why are you also called children of God? Now we're saying, why is he called God's only son when we are also God's children? The first part is because Christ alone is the eternal, natural son of God. And that is abundantly true if you look anywhere in the scripture, but we'll pick a few. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, 14 and 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Okay, also, it's not just the book of John. We go over to Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 1 through 5. The book of Hebrews is actually a very good book to show you who Jesus is. It's a very good one. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, this is talking about the Son, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has an inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Okay, so the first part was, why is Jesus called God's only begotten son? That was that. And then the second part is, we, however, are adopted children of God, adopted by the grace through Christ. And the scriptures for that start with John chapter 1, verse 12. I'm going to get my place for later. All right. And that is, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And we also have Romans 8, 14 through 17. And I don't know if I've said it from the front, but Romans chapter 8 is one of my most favorite chapters of the Bible. All right. And Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And one more on that subject, why are we called children also, is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Okay. Now we go to question 34. Why do you call him our Lord? The first part is because not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood he bought us. So that will be in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Okay, and that's also, okay, that's that. And then the question is, why do you call him our Lord? And the second point is, he has set us free from sin and from the tyranny of the devil. And we'll, for that, we'll go to Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And we also, on that second point, we have Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. So you see there's a lot to back up these points. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So we're released in him. The third point they want to make on this question is, and Jesus has bought us, body and soul, to be his very own. And for that, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And the second verse for that is 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I hope this helps clear up some things, you know, an unbeliever might ask you sometime some of these questions. Why do you call him God's only son, and yet you're saying that you're sons also? So that's what we cleared up, hopefully today.